You are about to be inspired, motivated, and your life changed. Are you ready? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. I am so glad that you guys are joining in today. Forgive me for missing last week. Felt a little ill this past weekend and recovered. but I appreciate all of you for just tuning in and listening and waiting and supporting. Please like, share, subscribe. Please like, share, subscribe, share with your friends, with your family, especially if you think that this podcast will help somebody. If you think that, it is going to be beneficial to somebody, if you think that, somebody will be blessed by it, please by all means share, like, subscribe, and help me spread the word of God and the love of God into as many lives as we can. Again, support the merchandise store. You can get God's Love apparel at godslovem.com. Again, that's godslovem, like Mary.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies. I know it's hot now. So maybe you don't want a hoodie, but we have t-shirts, ladies, tank tops. We even have, water bottles and other accessories that you can go and purchase. And cost is not that high. Every time you support, you help us out or help me out, to spread as much love as we can. So, thank you. Thank you so much. For just, again, supporting the positive words, listening, sharing, whatever it is that you do, I appreciate it. So today, just jumping right on into the podcast today, there is a scripture, and I'm doing it again. Last week or the week before last, when I started off reading the scripture, And how I came about this particular scripture was, I was searching for, I was dealing with something in regards to prophet. And when I say prophet, I mean prophit. I can't remember. Why I was looking up that word or for what purpose. It could have been for a podcast episode. It could have been, in case you guys don't know, I have episodes upon episodes. Some of, and a lot of times there are things that God is dealing with me with, on. And so I'll either write it down in my phone or, you know, I remember when I first started, I had a list of topics of things that I was going to talk about, and that I wanted to go over, and just never never happened. And it never came. I never did anything with it. Never pushed them out or recorded them. Not because I was being lazy with it. It's just a lot of times when I'm studying for these or when I'm reading these or if the thought comes or whatever, you get more thoughts and then you switch things up. But I make all that grand soliloquy to say that I ended up on this scripture that I kind of want you guys to go to. And it's a scripture that is, it's in Isaiah chapter number 30, verse 18. Isaiah chapter number 30, verse 18. And for those of you that maybe don't know God, or maybe you are, new to Christianity, or maybe you're not that familiar with the Bible, maybe, you haven't read the book of Isaiah before, periodically I'll go through here, and this is kind of where, you know, the Bible is what I use to explain the broader point that God is revealing to me. And, it's always my source of truth. And I say that in almost, I try to say that in every episode, is that I use the Bible as my source of truth. And I do that because it's helped me, right? And I wouldn't push anything to you that didn't help me, right? Because then I would be doing a disservice for you. I would be fake and phony and all that kind of stuff. And I don't want to be that. So it says here, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they all that wait for him. And so the reason why that scripture stood out the most, as soon as I read it, I called one of my friends, one of my best friends, and I called him, and first I texted him the scripture, and I called him, and me and him just rejoiced in God over that scripture. And the reason why is this: a lot of times when we talk about waiting or patience, we oftentimes refer to ourselves. And we oftentimes refer to ourselves in the sense of, I gotta wait, I gotta be patient. And even the scripture references towards the end, waiting on God, right? And I think the issue that we become when we are in a relationship with God, or even in relationships, period, is that sometimes we can become extremely, extremely, extremely one-sided, right? And we don't view the other end, right? I can think of plenty of times, even in my previous marriage, where I was extremely one-track minded. I was only thinking of myself, right? And that is a very selfish trait. And I think it's human of us to do that, because we care about ourselves. And the assumption is that the other person cannot care for you the way that you want to be cared for. So you become selfish. Typically selfish people, I would say, have trust issues, because they don't believe anybody else really cares about them. So they care extremely, extremely about themselves. And it's almost a survival task, a tactic, if you will, because you can't see the forest from the trees. You can't see anybody loving you and caring for you. So you hold on to everything. You are a spiritual hoarder. You just hold on to everything. You don't give. They can't get you to give. They can't get you to share, blah, blah, blah. Right. And I say that, and I don't say that with any stones thrown at you. Because I don't, you know, sometimes you just don't want to share. Sometimes you don't like to share. Sometimes, you feel selfish. And sometimes I think it's okay to even be a little selfish, right? Sometimes I think it's all right to be just a tad bit selfish in your life. And I'll say that to this, and then I got to get back to what I was talking about, where it's important that we take note. The scripture, when it talks about love, it talks about loving each other as you love yourself, right? Meaning that you should neglect you, right, in loving others. But the replica of what you love others should be a reflection of what you do for yourself, right? And so a lot of times when we're looking at scripture, when we're looking at our relationship with God, we only look at it in the relationships with people. We only look at it from a one track mind. We don't view the other end. We don't view the other person's thoughts, their minds, their feelings and their emotions. So a lot of times when we go out and we're trying to develop our relationship with God, the first thing that we say is that relationship is with our Lord and Savior is not religious. It is relational. And the reason we say that is to excuse our behavior or to try to justify our behavior when we come short. And when we don't do what sometimes and a lot of times what we're supposed to do in our relationship with Him. And so what we say to that is, oh, God knows me. Oh, God knows my heart. Now, ladies, I'm going to talk to you for a minute in regards to relationships, right? All of you have a relationship. All of us desire a relationship. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But the majority of us desire relationship. And ladies, if you were in a relationship with somebody, it's only so many times you're going to tolerate that Negro cheating on you. I shouldn't say Negro because it could be anybody listening, but it's only so many times you're going to take somebody cheating on you, before you want to leave them. You're going to be hurt. Your emotions are going to be hurt. Your feelings are going to be hurt. Fellas, if your woman cheats on you, if she's a gold digger, if she takes all your money that you have and she doesn't appreciate you like you should, and she doesn't make you feel like a king or vice versa, he doesn't make you feel like a queen. In that relationship, there's going to be issues. There's going to be flaws. There's going to be hurt and pain there that is going to hinder us from moving forward in our relationship with Christ. Not with Christ, with in our relationship with each other. The reason why we have to be careful when we use the word relationship when it comes to Jesus Christ is in actuality it doesn't free us like we think it frees us. It actually makes us more accountable. And the reason why it makes us more accountable is because you think for some odd reason that when you, go days without talking to God, when you go months without acknowledging Him, when you don't worship Him, when you don't praise Him, when you don't serve Him like you should, you hurt God's feelings. And the reason why is because He's in a relationship with you. And if we are in a relationship like we say we are, then there should be a level of accountability that we have to Him to try to serve Him and please Him just like our natural relationships. You ain't gonna keep being with somebody that don't talk to you. Nah, that's just all it is to it. You ain't gonna be in no relationship with somebody who don't talk to you. You ain't gonna be in no relationship with somebody who degrades you. You ain't gonna be in no relationship with somebody who don't want nothing to do with you. You don't wanna, you can't even give God 2 days out the week, and yet you, come on, man. And I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking about myself too. I'm including me in that number. And the reason why is because we can and should do God better, man. And I'm not judging you. I'm not casting any stones against you. What I'm saying is because we do have grace and we do have Jesus Christ and His blood and His mercy and His grace is always going to prevail, and He's always going to forgive us. He's always going to care for us like we should. If we say we have a relationship with Him, then there has to be a level of accountability that we hold ourselves to make sure that the relationship ain't one-sided. It shouldn't be just one person giving all and the other person taking all. It should be an even exchange. Now, here's the great thing about Jesus Christ. There is no exchange that you can do for Jesus. There is nothing that you can offer Him that would be in even exchange for His blood, for His stripes that He did for you, for the care and the love that He has for you. There is nothing that you can offer Him. There's not a dollar amount. There's not enough Sundays in your lifetime that would equate to what Jesus Christ did for you on Calvary, but you can at least try to build a good relationship with the man. I don't think that's too much, too hard to ask. So sometimes in relationships, we think of them one-sided. A lot of times in relationships, we think of them one-sided. A lot of times in our walk with Jesus and our walk with God, we think of them as one-sided. We only think of ourselves. And a lot of times when we think of patience, when we think of that weight gain, you know, when we think of what to do when it comes to us waiting, a lot of times what we fall short of is that we think that we're the only ones waiting. A lot of times we think that the only one that has to exude patience is us. There is nothing that Jesus Christ would ask you to do that he would not do, right? He asks you to sacrifice. He sacrificed. He asks you to give. He gives. He asks you to pray. He prayed. He asks you to worship. He worshiped. He asks you to give unto the poor. He gave. There's nothing that he wouldn't ask you to do that he has not already done and completed. And so when he tells you to have patience and to wait on the Lord, I say, and be of good cheer, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Or the scripture that reads, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up of wings like eagles, and they shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'll make thy feet as hinds' feet. In other words, I'll give you the ability to be stable even in unstable situations, because I'm gonna make you to be able to dig into the ground and to be able to stand firm because of me, and to be able to stand firm because of my word. So what we do a lot of times is we become one-sided. We kind of get out of our way a little bit, and we become a little bit one-sided in our relationships, and particularly in our relationship with God. But in this situation, this shows us the grace and the mercy of God on an all new level. In this particular scripture, it shows us the grace and mercy of God on a brand new plateau. It shows us the grace and mercy of God on a brand new scale. It shows us the grace and mercy of God on a brand new lens, with a brand new light, with brand new glasses. I remember when I was younger, I was in fourth grade. Fourth grade is when I started wearing glasses. And I could remember that I had such a hard time seeing that I had to be at the front of the class almost to be able to see the chalkboard. And I remember when I was, my mom, she took me to the eye doctor, and the doctor examined my eyes. And I remember my mom doubting if I could really not see or not, that's terrible English. If I could really see or not, because, you know, there was a part of her that I think thought I was just trying to get out of doing work and all that. And so she took me to the eye doctor. The eye doctor proved that I needed glasses. And I remember when I finally got to pick up my pair of glasses, I remember when I put them on my face, I began to see things in a brand new way. I remember things were clear for once. And I looked to my mom. I said, "Mama, I'm seeing stuff I ain't never saw before. I'm seeing colors and vibrant lights and words that I never would have been able to see before." I said, "Mama," I said, can, "is this how I'm supposed to see?" I said, "Mama, is this how it's supposed to look? Is this how this is supposed to be in focus and be clear?" And that's what the scripture does when it comes to our relationship with God. It puts new lenses on us. And the reason why it puts new lenses on us is because in this particular passage of scripture, God is mad at Israel because Israel has gone back to Egypt and has trusted Egypt, for riches and for goods. Matter of fact, if if we wanted to, we could actually go to the scripture where, in the beginning of the scripture, in verse 30, where it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan and his ambassadors, came to Hanes." So, and I could have probably, I totally butchered that last, the last name of that city. But the significance of this particular chapter is that in Israel's relationship with God, Israel had began to fall back. They no longer trusted God. They made Egypt the country, that God delivered Israel from, those people, the Egyptians. They had begun to go down there and begin to make alliances with them. They begin to trust in Pharaoh and they begin to trust in the Egyptian way. They begin to trust in their gods. They begin to trust in how they did things. Why? Because Egypt was vibrant. It was beautiful. It was moving. It was shaking. It was doing great things. It was rich. It was plentiful. And so they begin to trust Egypt and to use Egypt as their covering and to get counsel from Egypt on how to survive and how to thrive, because they wanted to thrive so much and they did not want to wait on God. They did not want God to be their deliverer. They did not want God to be their helper. They did not want God to show to be their pillow, their comforter, their guide, their all that God had done for them, all of the ways that he's made for them, all of the ways that he's delivered them. And they did not want God to continue to be their God. And so they begin to neglect their trust in God. They begin to forsake him and decide to do their own thing. They decided to come up with their own ideologies and their own way of thinking because they didn't trust in the way that God was doing things. And because of this mindset that they begin to develop, that because of this, God says, I'm tired. I keep getting let down by you. I keep getting hurt. I keep getting my feelings hurt. You keep standing me up. So this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow you to know that there is nobody greater than me, that there is nobody better than me. There is nobody that can do you like me. There's no one that can provide for you like me. There's no one that can care for you like me. There's no one that can love you like me. There's no one that can heal you like me. There's no one that can make you whole like me. There's no one that can provide and help you and your family and the generations to come like me. You were nothing when I found you. You were the least of all when I found you. And I decided to make you, Israel, your name great. I decided to make you my people and you my beloved. And yet and still, every single time I do this, Israel, you hurt my heart. Israel, you hurt my feelings. Israel, you leave me. And just like he's saying that with us, sometimes he says that to just like he was saying that to them, sometimes he says that to us. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm not, God knows I'm not bashing you. God, if that's how it sounds, please forgive me. I'm not throwing stones at you, my brother. I'm not throwing stones at you, my sister, because even I know I disappoint God. I know that there's some areas in my life that God wants me to be better at. And I know that he wants me to be whole from, and I have to yield to him to receive that wholeness. But my brother and my sister, with the grace and mercy of God, is so kind. My friend, bro, sis, the grace and mercy of God is so prevalent in this scripture, because what he says, yes, I'm the God of judgment. Yes, I could pronounce judgment over you, but instead, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to wait. I'm just gonna wait. I'm just gonna wait because I know I'm the best thing for you. I'm gonna wait for you. That's how much love I have for you. See, I know Egypt ain't gonna love you like me. I know that them surrounding cities and towns and that those idols ain't gonna answer no prayer like me. I know they have mouths, but they can't talk. I know that they have ears, but they can't hear. I know they can't do you and treat you like I can treat you. I know they're not gonna multiply you like I could multiply you. I know they can't make you rich like I can make you rich. So what I'm gonna do, I am going to sit back and I am going to wait on you. I'm going to love you so much that I am going to wait for you to get done doing your way. I'm going to wait for you to be brokenhearted because you have trusted everything else. You've trusted the good looks. You've trusted because he smelled good. You trusted because he had the suave. You trusted because he was finely built and he let you down each and every time. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to let you make your own decision. I'm going to, man, oh God, y'all have to forgive me. I don't mean to be too ministry in here, man. I'm just talking to you. But God says, I'm going to wait because I know that I'm always going to be the best choice. So I'm going to let you do you, boo boo. I'm going to let you go and do and handle your business. I'm going to let you go out and I'm going to let you go whoremongering around everybody else. I'm going to let you put that man first before you put me. I'm going to let you put her first before you put me because I'm going to show you. I'm not going to do a thing. I'm going to allow you to see that the only person that could ever love you is me. I'm gonna show you that I don't care how many kids you got. I don't care how many wives you've then had. I don't care how many husbands you generate. That there's only one God that can love you like I can love you. And so what God says is that I'm gonna wait. He tells Israel in the scripture, he says, I am going to wait for you. And I'm going to wait for you. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. In other words, what he's saying is that I'm going to wait so good. I'm going to wait so good that I am going to be, when you come back to me, I'm not going to hold it over your head. When you come back to me, I'm not going to hold it over your head about the mistakes that you made. He doesn't care about any of that. He says, I'm not going to hold any of that against you. I'm not going to hold the fact that you left me. I'm not going to hold the fact that you forsook me against you when you come back to me. He says, I'm not going to hold you to that because I know you didn't know. I know that your eyes did the talking instead of your faith doing the talking. And he says, because of that, I'm going to wait. And when you come back to me, I'm going to be gracious unto you. And he says, and therefore, will I be exalted then? Because then you'll see when you come back to me that I was the real thing. And he says that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is blessed of good judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. In other words, what God is saying is that I'm going to allow you to do what you do. I'm going to allow you to act how you gonna act. I'm gonna allow you to be silly, to be dumb, to be stupid, thinking that this world had something better for you than what I had for you. And I'm gonna allow you to go out there and I'm gonna allow you to screw it up. And guess what? I'm not gonna hold that to you. Ooh, that's why I love God. Because see, God don't hold it against you. When you come back to God, God, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. When we make mistakes and we fall short and we miss the mark, God don't hold that to us. When we go back to him, it's as if we had a clean slate. My boy, when I was talking to him about the scripture, he said, man, this goes right along with what we call the prodigal son. He says, when the son decides to return home to the dad, the Bible says that the Father sees him from afar off, meaning, oh God, meaning that the Father always had hope that the Son was going to return. And I just believe, and I just want to share with you that God always has a hope for us, that no matter how much we stray from him, no matter the wrong things that we do against him, God, he always has this hope for his kids that they'll come back. And he says, listen, when you come back, I'll make it to where it didn't never even happen. I'll bless you so much to where your enemies will see that I am the God Almighty, and that your enemies, they'll be able to see that my hand is on you, and they'll be able to see that I'm better, than their ways, that I'm better than what they tried to seduce you to do, that I'm better than the weed they tried to get you to sell, I'm better than the weed that they tried to get you to smoke, that I'm better than alcoholism, I'm better than any addiction that you could ever imagine. That's what God wants to show your enemy, and that's what he's going to show your enemy. And then what's going to even mess your enemy up even more is when he restores you and makes you better and blesses you, he's going to have you go back in the enemy's camp and territory and start snatching the people that the enemy tried to take, from God. And I just had to get this word out to y'all, man. I know it's not Wednesday. I know it's not Friday. I don't know when I'm going to start drop these episodes, man. I don't mean to be inconsistent, and I'm not justifying it, but man, I had to get this out to y'all to let y'all know that God is waiting, because he is gracious and he is wonderful and he is kind and he is loving, and he cannot wait till you come back and repent and ask for his forgiveness and for his love again, because he loves us and he cares for us. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad it is. God's still waiting for you, and God ain't never gonna stop waiting. God ain't never, oh God, he leaves the 99 to go get the one. And you're the one that he's waiting. You're the one that he's coming after. And God, he still wants you. He still loves you. He's gonna use you. He's gonna bless you. He's gonna bless your family, your friends, everything connected to you, because you have decided to make him number one again. Because we have decided to make him number one again. I'm gonna pray in a minute, man. And I promise you, man, I'm falling in this category. There's so much, man, God wants me to do better and be better at. There's so much I gotta grow in. Habits I gotta break. Things I gotta let go of. Bitterness and unforgiveness and hurt and traumas and just things that I gotta get better at. And he's waiting for us. He ain't gonna cut you short. He ain't gonna let you go. He's patient with us. He's patient. He's so kind. He's slow to anger. He don't get upset every single time he doesn't have an anger management problem. No, that's not God. God loves you. And he cares. And yes, he gets disappointed. But that never stops him from loving us and caring for you. I pray. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for blessing us and keeping us. Thank you for the word that came forth, God. I appreciate you for it, because it falls for me and it falls for all of us, God. Father, forgive us. We repent, Lord. And God, we're probably going to do some more horrible things in the future. But God, what we're asking is that you don't lead us in temptation. Don't let us fall prey to it. That you strengthen us, Father. And that, Lord God Jesus, you bless us to continue to move towards you. And Father, I ask that you bless my brothers and my sisters' finances. I pray that you give them the abundance, oh Father. I pray that you bless them in their walk with you. I pray that you bless the community. Lord God Jesus, take people off the streets. Help the homeless, help the poor, help the hungry, God. To the child that feels lonely, God, be with them. To the one and to the woman who feels violated, who was violated, Father, comfort her heart and heal her and bless her. And Father, we bless my man, bless the brothers, Father, who's held up so much emotion and pain because they were taught that that's was how they were supposed to do it. Heal emotionally, heal physically, heal mentally, heal us, Father, for we need you, and we thank you, and we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I appreciate y'all for joining me today. I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Please, again, like, share, subscribe. Share this word with somebody. Please get this message out to somebody. Somebody needs to know about this great love of God that he has. Share this message with them. Please, again, visit our store, our online store, godslovem.com. Again, godslovem.com. Please purchase a t-shirt, purchase tank tops, get you a water bottle. Please support the ministry as much as possible. Again, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the God's Love Podcast. Subscribe, share, and stream on all podcast streaming outlets.